This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL, 71 degrees, partly sunny today, high today, low 80s. Tonight, slight chance of rain with a low of 55. And then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the middle 70s, and that'll be capped off with a low tomorrow night in the upper 40s, believe it or not. McDowell County School Superintendent Dr. Jerry Martin has been named Orange County School System's next superintendent. Dr. Martin has served McDowell County and Marion in the western part of the state since July of last year. She's been working in education for 27 years, including 4 as assistant superintendent for curriculum and instruction prior to her role in McDowell County. The Orange County Schools Board of Education reviewed 30 applications in all, coming from 11 states. In a press release yesterday, the board said Martin's experience, credentials, strong communication skills, tenacious work ethic, and dedication to student learning makes her the best fit. Martin got her bachelor's degree in Spanish and politics from Wake Forest University. A few years later, she went on to Appalachian State University, where she obtained her Master's of Arts in Educational Leadership. She continued her education at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, where she received her Doctorate of Educational Leadership and Cultural Foundations. Dr. Jerry Martin replaces Patrick Rhodes, who recently retired after being a superintendent for a long time. Martin will take the position at a date later to be determined, sometime in October. UNC system leaders have mixed feelings about a pilot program that proposes to counter falling enrollment at a half dozen campuses around the state by allowing a greater number of out-of-state students. WCHL's Rachel Nash has the story.
The UNC System Board of Governors discussed the measure Thursday that could allow up to 30% of newly enrolled students to come from outside the state, affecting 6 campuses, including North Carolina A&T State University and North Carolina Central University. Those 6 campuses historically serve minority students. A final decision on the measure is months away, and the policy is designed to be on a 5-year trial run. Board member Marty Kotis said he feared that the proposed policy would shift focus away from in-state students.
But I think we have to continue to remember the citizens of this state and why this university exists the way it is and why it's not a private university.
Kotis said that the board couldn't predict the impact of such a decision and believed that it could instead raise tuition for in-state students by shifting the burden of cost.
And without that hard data, and without knowing the exact cost of providing that degree to those students, I don't see how we can make any decision that's not just guessing.
The policy also suggested lowering the tuition rate for counties and states that border North Carolina as a system-wide measure. Kotis added that the policy could violate the state constitution of North Carolina. By law, enrollment of non-North Carolina freshmen is limited to 18% at public universities. The 6 campuses all saw revenues from enrollment fall in the past year, according to system officials. Though the policy won't affect the flagship university in context, from 2011 to 2012, UNC Chapel Hill saw a 0.5% increase in enrollment growth. Board member Hannah Gage said she believed there were other ways to help the struggling campuses in the system, and said recruiting more out-of-state students would only be a temporary fix.
I think that you can look around the country and you can see campuses that have struggled before, that have become hybrids, that have done creative things with community colleges, and some of that, I think, should be part of the conversation before we ramp up the out-of-state numbers.
An economic advantage of the proposed policy is that almost half of out-of-state students who attend those 6 campuses stay in North Carolina after graduation, according to system figures. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Your local university's business school might have a tough decision to make in finding its new dean.
This year, we may be the leading school that is in the market for a new dean. So those who have it in their plan to move into administration one way or another will be looking at us, I'm sure.
That's the dean of UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication and chair of the dean of the Keenan Flagler Business School Search Committee, Susan King. She says she's spoken with a number of different business schools around the country and that she's hearing that this will be a very sought-after job. In the U.S. News & World Report 2014 Best Colleges Rankings, UNC was named number 5 of the top public schools, and UNC's Kenan Flagler Business School was named number 20 in the best business schools in the nation. Jim Dean served as the business school's dean from 2008 through 2013. Before that, he served as the senior associate dean from 2007 through 2008, associate dean of executive development from 2002 through 2007, and associate dean of the MBA program from 1998 through 2002. Dean is now provost at Carolina. King says Dean asked her personally if she would lead this search committee.
I think it's an honor to do that, especially to find the successor to such a successful dean at Kenan Flagler, who now happens to be our provost. So I'm really honored to have been asked to do it.
King says the process is likely to take a few months. She says the first task was to create the search committee, which is now made up of a dozen members, not including herself.
I think it's a very strong search committee. There are members of the faculty, there are members of the staff at Kenan Flagler, and there are also very successful alums. There is one student, so it reflects the many constituencies of the Kenan Flagler School.
King says first goal of the committee was to decide the best way to go about finding the top candidates.
We decided that we needed to hire an outside search firm that would really have a national and, in fact, a global perspective on what the talent pool would be. That firm was chosen at our last meeting out of three firms.
Korn Ferry International has been contracted to assist in this search. The most recent meeting of the search committee was August 22nd. Next meeting has not been scheduled. All meetings are likely conducted in closed session, as authorized by the North Carolina Open Meeting Law. King says the next task for the committee is to create a job description so it can officially begin advertising the position and start accepting applications. Longtime faculty member and former dean of Kenan Flagler, Jack Evans of Chapel Hill, has agreed to fill that position in an interim role until the position is filled. King says he doesn't want it to be a prolonged stay.
We're hoping that we can interview candidates in this semester and identify someone for the chancellor and for the provost, so that we could know by next semester who the new dean would be.
To see the list of the search committee members, you can view this story on our website at chapelboro.com. North Carolina Representative Valerie Fushi, who lives here in Chapel Hill, says she's not naming any specific names when it comes to who she wants to see take her place in the House.
There are several people who I think are well qualified. There are a couple who I think are uniquely qualified. And I think that each candidate should be judged on his or her own merit.
Fushi represented District 50 for 9 months. She was nominated for the Senate seat representing District 23 this past Sunday to take the place of 8-term Senator Ellie Kinnaird.
When I spoke with the governor's office on yesterday, they had not received the paperwork, but I was assured that as soon as the office has the paperwork, that the proclamation will be signed by the governor and the secretary of state.
Of course, with Fushi taking the place of Ellie Kinnaird, that creates a domino effect. Someone needs to fill her seat. So far, Tommy McNeil of Orange County is the only person to announce his intention to file. The application period for the seat will open once Governor McCrory officially accepts the nomination. Former Senator Kinnaird, well before she announced her resignation, said she wanted a strong female to take her place, but Valerie Fushi says she's not as worried about the gender of her successor.
Anybody who is willing to serve, to make the effort to get out there and do the work, to be accessible to constituents when they come by or when they call, a person who's willing to make the connections between the citizen and the state agencies whenever appropriate. We need somebody who is going to be a good caucus member.
Representative Fushi and whoever takes her place in the House will both serve out the remainder of their terms, and then we'll be up for a vote on November 4th, 2014. WCHL News Time, 8:14. Time for traffic and weather together. This traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. Several reasons for that. They're made with 100% filtered water. They're served at 34 degrees, and they have the great chewy ice. It's all guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents. Cruisers, good to go. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Well, Ron, I'm sorry I haven't done this yet. Happy Friday the 13th of 2013.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I didn't even think about it being 2013.
That's right.
A new Friday the 13th, but gosh, that adds another element to it.
That's right. It was actually about half a year ago I looked at the calendar because we hit that point of the Aztec calendar. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the Mayan calendar. And we passed that and everything was fine. I was like, well, what's the next time that people freak out? And today's probably a good chance that some people are freaking out pretty good, but well, things seem to be fine.
See, that points up the difference between me and you. You're working 6 months in advance. I'm working about 6 minutes in advance. So, you know.
Better than 6 months behind.
Thanks for pointing that out. What's happening with traffic?
Traffic, seeing a couple slowdowns, nothing major right now. 15501 southbound between I-40 and the East Franklin split, where Ephesus Church Road seeing some delays. 15501 northbound seeing some heavy delays between about the Southern Village area and the South Columbia, South Columbia Interchange. So be on the lookout if you're traveling there. 15501 northbound, then continuing from that point on till about Manning Drive, seeing some delays as well. Otherwise, things are moving fairly smoothly. So Fordham Boulevard is the main area of problem this morning, and we'll keep an eye on that as the morning rolls along. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
Talk to you again in about a half hour, unless something unusual happens.
You bet.
All right, time now for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, and it's brought to you by the Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. Really cool. You know, it's local ownership over there. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, which can host private parties on a patio with special indoor-outdoor capabilities. They can serve a lot of people. Guests can lounge and enjoy their favorite dishes crafted to order by the excellent Tobacco Road chef. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54 in Chapel Hill. 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, 71 in Carborough, also 71 in Hillsborough. Partly sunny, nice day, hot today, low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers, nothing to worry about. Low tonight in the middle 50s, kind of cool. Then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the middle 70s. And tomorrow night, we're going to have clear skies, and we'll go all the way down to about 47 or 48 degrees. How about those apples? On Sunday, mostly sunshine with the high in the upper 70s.
Thank you, superstar, disc jockey, morning talk show host. Been here forever, keeping us doing it right, Ron Stutt.
WCHL News Time, 8:17. County commissioners want to take a closer look at three possible spots for a branch library, including a new location on Brewer Lane in Carborough. That seems to be the favorite right now. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more on the story.
As Orange County officials continue the search for a site to build the southwest branch of the Orange County Library, commissioners say they want to explore the possibility of putting the library in a yet-to-be-built mixed-use development on Brewer Lane in Carborough. Board Chair Barry Jacobs said such a collaboration could have economic advantages for the town and county.
If we bring people to Brewer, then that will enhance the economic development in downtown Carborough, which benefits Orange County. It's a destination site. They will go there, park their car, or get off the bus, and they will walk around.
County staffers said the Brewer Lane site was preferable to other downtown Carborough locations suggested by the Board of Aldermen. A town-owned parking lot at 203 South Greensboro would likely pose access and parking challenges, while space in the 300 East Main development would be too expensive. And a suggestion that the county look into buying the property at 201 North Greensboro, currently owned by CVS, was quickly shot down. Here's County Planner Michael Harvey.
The main issue here for us is, number one, the property is not for sale. And number two, we believe that the cost of procuring the property will be extreme. And quite honestly, we believe money could be spent better in other forms and fashions.
In addition to the Brewer Lane site, the board also expressed interest in a site on Hillsborough Road adjacent to the Martin Luther King Jr. Park, as well as a site on Fidelity Street next to the Westwood Cemetery. All three locations would need to be vetted by planners, engineers, and technical consultants. The in-depth analysis could cost as much as $15,000 per site. The board agreed that if technical analysis ruled out one of the three, county staffers should reconsider the parking lot at 203 South Greensboro as an alternate site. No matter where the branch ends up, commissioners say they want to be clear it won't be a duplicate of the Chapel Hill Public Library or the main library in downtown Hillsborough. Once again, Barry Jacobs.
Because the Chapel Hill Library already exists so close, we want to be clear we're not going to duplicate services with the Chapel Hill Library. We're not doing a 20,000 square foot library. We're doing a library that serves the southwestern part of the county.
Officials say the public will have a chance to weigh in after the analysis of each site has been completed. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
73 degrees, 819 at WCHL. Time now for championship sports, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. I'm Ron Stutz. It may be Friday the 13th, but there's no nonsense out of Tar Heel football coach Larry Fedora as his team takes advantage of the bye week to prepare for their huge ACC opener against a tricky triple option attack of Georgia Tech.
We've come just in a couple of days of our guys working on the triple option. Defense is starting to get the game plan. Offensively, putting in a game plan of what we know about Georgia Tech at this time, which isn't a whole lot. You're basically making decisions based off one game. They played Elon. This is a new defensive coordinator in Ted Roof. And then you're trying to make some decisions off of what he did when he was at Penn State the year before.
Ted Roof used to be at Duke some years ago. Let's get this out of the way. Coach Fedora served as offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State from 2005 through 2007, a long time ago. Despite all the recent accusations of players getting paid at that program, Coach Fedora was asked about this. He says he never saw anything suspicious during his time with the Cowboys.
Nothing. You know, and let me tell you, I'll tell you this. There was no doubt in my mind and every guy on that staff that it was clear from that administration and Mike Gundy that you were going to do things right there. No doubt.
Now, back to what's happening at Carolina. Changing the culture at UNC has always been a main focus for Coach Fedora. He says he was impressed with the student section, or as he calls it, the tar pit, against Middle Tennessee.
I think, I tell you what, if you looked at that tar pit, our student section did an awesome job. I mean, they were awesome. I mean, they were there early. They had a great time. I mean, they're the thing that our team feeds off of. You know, we're still in the process of changing the culture.
Yeah, the students were good, and he avoided mentioning anything about what was happening on the other end of the stadium where a lot of the Blue Zone ticket holders were apparently inside. So how will the Tar Heels defend against a frustrating Georgia Tech option offense is something you don't see out of anybody else. Yellow Jacket head coach Paul Johnson's team put up a demoralizing 68 points on Carolina in Chapel Hill a year ago. Ouch! Coach Fedora says the key to success against that offense is all about discipline.
You got to be very disciplined. I mean, you have to be very disciplined. Somebody has to have the dive. Somebody has to have the quarterback. Somebody has to have the pitch every play. And then Paul's going to do a great job of scheming you with different formations and unbalanced looks. Try to outnumber you. I mean, if they're balanced, you got to be balanced. If they're unbalanced, you have to be unbalanced. And then he's going to go where the numbers are.
Peering ahead to the Thursday night pregame festivities coming to Franklin Street for the Miami game October 17th. Coach Fedora says he hopes Tar Heel Downtown becomes an annual tradition in our community.
You know, I think there a lot goes into having a Thursday night game here, first of all, with the community and the university. And so I think it's a great thing that the university and the community is coming together to just make it a great night, you know, have fun and just everybody hang out on Franklin Street and have a great time. So I think it's a great idea, and I hope it's something that catches on and we do in the future.
Kickoff time for the Carolina-Georgia Tech game a week from tomorrow is set for noon on Saturday, September 21st, down in Atlanta. The game will be televised by one of the ESPN networks to be announced soon. And WCHL will get you fired up for the contest with another early broadcast. We'll start at 9 a.m. with Countdown to Kickoff, presented by UNC Healthcare. You can read this story and follow all the latest in Tar Heel football on our website, chapelbrough.com. Brian Chakos used to play football for Carolina. He knows all about an off week will give your program an extra time, and it couldn't come at a better time because the Tar Heels really need it preparing for Georgia Tech. Brian, what are the Tar Heels working on right now? Well, I thought we had Brian Chakos on the phone, but perhaps. Well, hang on 1 second. Well, apparently we're having a little problem with the line there, but we'll talk with Brian a little bit later on. Certainly we'll talk to him during our pregame coverage a week from tomorrow, for sure. Top-ranked North Carolina women's soccer team got goals from Paige Nielsen and Kalia Ojai to ease past number 22 Virginia Tech last night, 2-1 final score, before over 1,400 fans at Thompson Field. The victory was number 750 for UNC head coach Anson Dorrance's coaching career. He improved to 750, 49, and 29. 35 seasons at the helm. He also coached the Tar Heel men's team to 172 wins from 1977 through 88. So his combined win total now stands at 922 career wins. After the win, Dorrance said the milestone victory is telling of the players he's had over the years. He always diverts attention away from himself.
Dave just shared it with me. I was not aware of that. I think what that means is I'm hellaciously old. I think that's a factor. And it also means we've recruited great rosters over time. We've had some great players. And there's great longevity for me in the women's game. I was there at the beginning. And I think it's a testament to the fact that when the game started, I was involved in women's soccer, and I'm still here.
Hellaciously old. That's a new way to put it, I guess. Carolina opened its ACC season with that victory, improving to 7-0 overall, heading into a 1 p.m. matchup on Sunday against number 8 Notre Dame at UNC's Fetzer Field. Sunday's game against Notre Dame will be nationally televised on ESPN3, also broadcast here on WCHL. Tickets are on sale now at the GoHeagles.com Ticket Center. All tickets, $5 for general admission, with UNC faculty, staff, and students admitted free with their UNC One card. Believe it or not, Tar Heel basketball action right around the corner, and the regular season schedule, initially released by the ACC on August 22nd, is shaping up with the release of five specific game times on Thursday. And Carolina's season will get underway against Oakland University with a tip-off time set for 9 o'clock on the night of November 8th. Other updates include a 7:30 start for the UNC Pembroke exhibition game November 1st, an 8 p.m. game versus Holy Cross November 15th, a 3 p.m. tip on December 1st for the contest against the Blazers of UAB, and a 5 p.m. game time on New Year's Eve against UNC Wilmington. That game to be broadcast by ESPNU. Regular season opener against Oakland will be televised by the ACC's Regional Sports Network. I'm Ron Stutz. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Did you know that I named the hostess group for football recruiting at UNC? This is our Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. The infamous five-part series on SI.com indicting the Oklahoma State football program for everything from gifts to girls reminds me of how I was involved with the first football hostess group at UNC. Not like that, numbnut. The Tar Heel hostesses were from the get-go great young ladies who did what they were asked to do, greet high school players when they came on campus for big recruiting weekends. They still do. I was just out of school writing for the old Chapel Hill Weekly when then-coach Bill Dooley came up with the idea. One of the Carolina cheerleaders named Laylee McNair did not make the cut when tryouts came around, and she asked Dooley how she could stay involved with the Tar Heel football team. Not like that, numbnut. Dooley wanted to help Laylee, whose brother Fred McNair also went to UNC and later became a Davis Cup tennis star. He decided to start a hostess group, like his older brother Vince had at the University of Georgia. So he had a couple of student organizations on campus put the word out. But Dooley had one problem that he asked me about. Dooley said in his Mississippi drawl, "Hey, Art, we're lining up this group of young co-eds to show recruits around campus when they visit. But, hell, I can't think of a name for them. Can you help me? You're a writer." "Sure, Coach," I responded. I thought about it for a while and said, "How about the Sweet Carolines?" Neil Diamond had just released a song by the same name, and it seemed to fit, although no one realized what staying power that ditty would have from Chapel Hill to the eighth inning at Fenway Park in Boston. Dooley's blue eyes lit up. "Sweet Carolines. Hell, Art, I like that. We'll call them the Sweet Carolines." And that's what they were called for, I guess, 20 years, until PC stopped meaning privileged character and became instead political correctness. The Sweet Carolines were renamed the Carolina Blues, and they have their picture in the football program on the same page with the cheerleaders and dance team. But they never asked me or Coach Dooley to get involved. Not like that, numbnut. This is our chance to see ya.
Hello, this is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, it's that time of year again, Carolina football season. And nobody gets more excited about Carolina football
Sammy,
than I do.
Football and real estate have absolutely nothing in common, except once I had a client who wore shoulder pads.
Well, I think that counts.
And homes are measured in square feet, and football is a game of inches.
And our business is all about bringing two parties together who have totally opposing agendas. The buyer always wants to pay as little as possible, and the seller usually wants more than the market will bear.
And inspections are like first downs, and lenders are like referees, and closing is like the end zone.
By George, I think she's got it.
I do have it, Sammy. When it comes to buying and selling a house, we all want to come out ahead. And at Franklin Street Realty, we make that happen.
At Franklin Street, we have more than 20 years' experience helping the right buyers and sellers find each other, so everyone ends up a winner.
Oh, Sammy, that's so sweet.
Franklin Street Realty, why would you call anyone else?
For great food and infinite sports on game day or night, the new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe is your next stop. Locally owned and operated, Tobacco Road features fresh, local ingredients, down-home classics, and gourmet entrees, plus a wide selection of North Carolina beers on tap. Exceptional service is also on every menu, from your servers to the chef preparing your order. In Infinite Sports, we have every available sports package on TVs throughout the restaurant for your viewing comfort. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, now open in Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
This is it. It's football time. That means there's only one place to get every bit of Carolina and college football stats, commentary, photos, sideline news, and much, much more. It's Chapelboro's Huddle Up with a Heel section.
Shotgun snap to Renner and drops straight back. Plenty of time, goes to the end zone. Ebron catches it for six. What a play. Our Heel tight end.
And it's jam-packed with everything you'll need to know this season, plus extras you weren't even expecting. So don't get blindsided. Check out chapelboro.com/huddle up all season long.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather presented by Townsend Bertram & Company. Carborough's locally owned adventure outfitters, Townsend Bertram & Company, celebrating its 25th anniversary tomorrow from 4 until 8 p.m. at Carmel Mall. The free event will have live music, activities for kids, an outdoor beer garden, and more. Take the whole family. It's going to be a lot of fun. Townsend Bertram & Company. 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny today. Really nice day. High today, low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and the low in the middle 50s. Relatively cool. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with a high in the middle 70s. Tomorrow night, it's going to get downright chilly with the lows in the upper 40s. Love it. Then on Sunday, mostly sunshine with a high back in the upper 70s.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Boulder Creek normally meanders through that Colorado city, but now it's way up.
It's about 6 feet higher than normal and flowing like a freight train out of control.
That's correspondent Barry Peterson. This Boulder resident did not evacuate as about 4,000 others did.
We have flooding in our basement. We must have 50 tons of rock that's going to have to be removed so we can get our cars out of the driveway.
In Estes Park, Colorado, more high water.
15 years. No, we've never seen it this high, even in the spring floods.
As rain falls, and they've gotten 8 or 10 inches from this storm system, Barry Peterson says,
this could be a bad day on the Front Range, from Boulder to Denver down to Colorado Springs. Forecasters say there could be more rain. That means there could be more flooding and more people chased out of their homes.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
73 degrees, 832 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Well, Orange County School System has a new superintendent this morning. McDowell County School Superintendent Dr. Jerry Martin was announced last night. Martin has served McDowell County and Marion in the western part of North Carolina since July of 2012. She's been working in education for a total of 27 years, including 4 years as assistant superintendent for curriculum and instruction prior to her role in McDowell County. The Orange County Schools Board of Education reviewed 30 applicants, which came from 11 states. In a press release sent out yesterday, the board said Martin's experience, credentials, strong communication skills, tenacious work ethic, and dedication to student learning makes her the best fit. Martin has a lot of ties to North Carolina. She got her bachelor's degree in Spanish and politics from Wake Forest. A few years later, she went to Appalachian State University and got her Master's of Arts in Educational Leadership. She continued her education at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, where she received her Doctorate of Educational Leadership and Cultural Foundations. She said that she was humbled to receive the opportunity for the responsibility, and she comes into this new job with great enthusiasm to serve the students, staff, and community. As a statement sent from Dr. Jerry Martin, the new superintendent of schools, she will officially take office sometime in October. County commissioners want to take a closer look at three possible sites for a branch library. One seems to be peeking ahead of the rest of the possibilities. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
As Orange County officials continue the search for a site to build the southwest branch of the Orange County Library, commissioners say they want to explore the possibility of putting the library in a yet-to-be-built mixed-use development on Brewer Lane in Carborough. Board Chair Barry Jacobs said such a collaboration could have economic advantages for the town and county.
If we bring people to Brewer, then that will enhance the economic development in downtown Carborough, which benefits Orange County. It's a destination site. They will go there, park their car, or get off the bus, and they will walk around.
County staffers said the Brewer Lane site was preferable to other downtown Carborough locations suggested by the Board of Aldermen. A town-owned parking lot at 203 South Greensboro would likely pose access and parking challenges, while space in the 300 East Main development would be too expensive. and a suggestion that the county look into buying the property at 201 North Greensboro, currently owned by CVS, was quickly shot down. Here's County Planner Michael Harvey.
The main issue here for us is, number one, the property is not for sale, and number two, we believe that cost of procuring the property will be extreme, and quite honestly, we believe money could be spent better in other forms and fashions.
In addition to the Brewer Lane site, the board also expressed interest in a site on Hillsborough Road adjacent to the Martin Luther King Jr. Park, as well as a site on Fidelity Street next to the Westwood Cemetery. All three locations would need to be vetted by planners, engineers, and technical consultants. The in-depth analysis could cost as much as $15,000 per site. The board agreed that if technical analysis ruled out one of the three, county staffers should reconsider the parking lot at 203 South Greensboro as an alternate site. No matter where the branch ends up, commissioners say they want to be clear it won't be a duplicate of the Chapel Hill Public Library or the main library in downtown Hillsboro. Once again, Barry Jacobs.
Because the Chapel Hill Library already exists so close, we want to be clear we're not going to duplicate services with the Chapel Hill Library. We're not doing a 20,000 square foot library. We're doing a library that serves the southwestern part of the county.
Officials say the public will have a chance to weigh in after the analysis of each site has been completed. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
North Carolina Representative Valerie Fushi, if she has a favorite, is not letting on. She says she's not naming any specific names when it comes to who she wants to see take her place in the House.
There are several people who I think are well qualified. There are a couple who I think are uniquely qualified. And I think that each candidate should be judged on his or her own merit.
Fushi represented District 50 for all of 9 months. She was nominated for the Senate seat representing District 23 on Sunday to take the place of 8-term Senator Ellie Kinnaird.
When I spoke with the governor's office on yesterday, they had not received the paperwork. But I was assured that as soon as the office has the paperwork, that the proclamation will be signed by the governor and the Secretary of State.
In news around town this morning, the North Carolina Big Sweep Leader Campaign has returned. This year's theme is Amazing People, Amazing Results. Each year, the town of Hillsboro asks for groups and volunteers to help clean up Orange County. From now until October 31st, the campaign is asking you to be amazing. That's a quote. A record 384 groups volunteered last year. If you want to be a part of this year's Big Sweep, you can call Hillsboro Big Sweep Coordinator Terry Hackett. And groups are asked to call as soon as possible. Individuals who want to help can call and be placed in a group. You can get the information for contacting Terry Hackett on our website on the News Around Town section, 837 at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Here's the surprise headline up there in New York. Big Fish reels in a huge audience. Now, you remember Big Fish. Well, it's now a new Broadway musical, of course, based on Chapel Hill's Daniel Wallace's novel and the movie that was based on that book. But the new musical does not even open on Broadway until next month. But its previews are selling out. Here's what Broadway.com said. While we're on the subject of filling seats, give a big tip of the hat to the brand new musical Big Fish, which began previews on Broadway this week and managed to fill over 100% of house capacity with just 4 preview performances. The only other Broadway show to report over 100% capacity was longtime hit The Book of Mormon. Close behind were The Lion King and Kinky Boots and Wicked, all established popular productions, but all behind Big Fish in previews. Well, doing so well in previews this month doesn't guarantee success, but it gives good reason to be hopeful and watchful for that opening next month. Well, what will the success of the Broadway musical mean to the author of the book that inspired it? Daniel Wallace told me the other day on WCHL that he is merely an enthusiastic follower of the development of the musical, just as he was with the making of the Big Fish movie. The book inspired the movie, and the movie inspired the musical. And although the movie and the musical follow the basic story Wallace developed in the book, they are all different, Wallace explained to me. Although the writers and the producers make changes in the book story, Wallace smiles as he emphasizes that they cannot change his book. He says, the book is mine and the movie and the musical are theirs. But Wallace admires the musical just as he admired the movie. Watching the productions develop, he learned something about how writers in other mediums tell stories, and he's used some of those techniques in his own writing. And in fact, I learned that he has added script writing to his long list of artistic skills. Wallace is enthusiastic about the cast of the musical, especially Norbert Leo Butz, who plays Edward Bloom, that lead character who tells the tall tales and big fish stories that gave the book its name. Wallace said that Butz's acting and singing will make Edward Bloom an unforgettable character, where on opening night, Wallace and his wife will be there in Broadway's Neil Simons Theater in their best seats, and they will be reeling in and believing their own unbelievable tall tale big fish dream. This is D.G. Martin.
All right. Thank you, D.G. It is 840 at WCHL. I'm Russ Stutz, and we have a special guest in the studio this morning. Emily Cass is here from the Ackland Art Museum, smiling from ear to ear. These are exciting times right now for the Ackland. And Emily, why are you smiling so much this morning?
We just opened an amazing exhibition last night. We had an opening reception for the public. More than 400 people came.
It wow.
It was so much fun.
That
there
is
were,
amazing.
There were performing groups as well. A very happy feeling in the museum in downtown.
I'll bet you. Man, lively place. You don't normally think of museums as being lively places, but this one is, or at least it certainly was last night.
It was. We're really changing that perception of mm-hmm. museums as always being quiet and stodgy, and certainly the exhibition, mm-hmm. When you come and see it, you'll see that it really upends all of your old notions about, you know, gold framed pictures hanging on the wall, although we still have some of those.
Put your expectations aside. Tell us why this particular exhibit had so many people excited and why everybody should go see it.
Well, it has a very international flavor, and it's an exhibition called the Samak Collective, Art and Activism in India since 1989. So, of course, it attracted people who were interested in India, who are interested in world culture, and it has a very kind of political and social theme to it. There are a number of artists involved, and the work that they do is everything from painting and sculpture to graphic design, children's books, illustrations, posters, street art, happenings. So you'll see all of that in the museum.
Well, the Ackland always focuses on what's going on around the world, and this is such an international, multicultural community, so it's the perfect exhibit to be at the Ackland right now.
We think so.
Yeah. I know that you also have some things going on at the Ackland's Museum Store, which is like right there at the corner of Franklin and Columbia.
Yes, and we're in conjunction with the show, we have organized an Indian bazaar. Some beautiful, handmade, very limited production items, but also very affordable, I might add, made in India by kind of a younger generation of business people and entrepreneurs, and many of them from recycled materials. And that really extends the educational mission of the museum.
Mm-hmm. It goes right along with whatever the Ackland Art Museum is doing. And I think one of the things that we should stress today is the fact that the Ackland Art Museum is right there in the middle of our community, on the edge of the UNC campus, right off the downtown Main Street.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't even know about it and haven't been. So what can they expect? Give us a one-minute thumbnail of what they can expect if they go to the Ackland Art Museum.
We sometimes think of it as the mini Metropolitan Museum of Art because we do have a collection that spans over 4,500 years of human creativity. And then with each exhibition, we do a wonderful special exhibition that goes along with the permanent collection. And often there are ways to link what you see with other parts of the collection. We always do a lot of programming. So with this exhibition, you'll be able to take art classes, hear lectures by world scholars, many of whom teach at UNC, participate in Festival, It just goes on and on and on.
Well, the Ackland Art Museum is right there on Columbia Street, just off Franklin Street.
Franklin.
Edge of the UNC campus. Beautiful place to go. Beautiful place to be. And, you know, I know a lot of people in this community, but not many who seem so excited about their work every day.
Well, thank you.
You are just so enthusiastic about it, and I see you always have a smile on your face, and you're always excited about something that's going on at the Ackland. If somebody wants to find out more, how do they do that?
Best thing is to look at our website or call 919-966-5736, and there's all the information is there. We're open Wednesday through Sunday, mm-hmm. Thursday evenings till 8, and Saturdays 10 to Sundays 1 to 5.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in. I know it was a late night last night, all that excitement, and you probably had trouble jacking up the energy to get in here and talk about it. But
not at all.
But thanks for coming in this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Emily Cass, Executive Director, Ackland Art Museum, UNC, right here in the middle of Chapel Hill. 8:45 at WCHL, Terry Tyson talks about the same thing that Mayor Mark Kleinsmith was all fired up about on the news yesterday, talking about what to do with that abandoned Volvo dealership on the edge of town. That is on the way next.
Tailgate season is back, and Great Outdoor Provision Company is ready to kick it off right. Stop by to pick up one of our new Yeti coolers with UV-resistant technology and heavy insulation. And don't forget about Costa Del Mar sunglasses for game days and Patagonia better sweaters because cold weather is on the way. Great Outdoor Provision Company, located at Eastgate Shopping Center. Like us on Facebook and find out more about featured products at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Celebrate the real Mexican Independence Day at Margaret's Cantina.
What do you mean, Margaret? It's September, not May.
Right, Ron. Contrary to popular belief in the U.S., Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican Independence Day. They celebrate their independence from Spain on September 16th. Friday and Saturday night, we'll be serving Mexican specialties such as chiles en nogada, a dish which represents the colors of the Mexican flag, green, white, and red.
I love the way you say that. Margaret's Cantina in the Timberline Shopping Center, now serving Sunday supper from 4 to 8 p.m.
Hi, this is Rick Steinbacher. If you're hungry for nostalgia and food, Chapel Hill has the edge on all others. You can visit Sutton's Drugstore. It's a living museum in all the best ways. And if your photo makes it to the wall there, your life's work is done. There's Four Corners, a classic bar and grill serving sandwiches named for legendary Tar Heels like the Fabulous Phil and the Slammin' Sam. Chapel Hill, an edgy community that bleeds Carolina blue.
Explore, taste, tune in. Experience the edge of the triangle here in your own backyard.
Hey, listen, I mentioned this earlier today when we normally do birthdays, but today just happens to be Rick Steinbacher's birthday. Happy birthday, Rick!
I could not be more proud of my ring, honestly.
That's Haley Best, Miss North Carolina 2011, talking about her engagement ring from Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
Every single time I show my ring to a friend or a stranger, their next question is, what does your fiancé do for a living? And my answer is, he shops at Diamonds Direct, because that's all I can say. That's the only way I can explain it.
Fiancé Andrew Jernigan agrees. After dozens of stores and hundreds of diamonds, Diamonds Direct was the obvious choice for his beauty queen.
Selection like no one's ever seen. You feel like you walked into King Solomon's mines. There are diamonds everywhere. No one could offer me a value remotely close to Diamonds Direct, and that is literally comparing in-store, online, across the entire United States.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
You'd have to see Haley's ring to believe it. You'd say, oh my God, where did you get this? Well, we can tell you where we got it. We got it at Diamonds Direct, and never felt better about any purchase I've made.
Best decision we ever made.
Without a doubt.
On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming's, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Many people who switch their car insurance to GEICO for the savings end up staying for the excellent customer service. That's why GEICO works very hard to make sure every customer is satisfied. In fact, GEICO's customer satisfaction is 97%. And the 3% who aren't satisfied? Well, there's just no pleasing some people. But we're working on it.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Mark Brown of Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, your local CPA and advisors. Running a business requires wearing a lot of hats. We can help you plan and run your business effectively, from buying a business to the legal and tax structure to setting up efficient accounting processes. We help guide you through any and all questions so you can concentrate on what matters most, your business.
To find out more, talk to Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown, where our people make the difference. Find us online at chbcpas.com.
WCHL's Traffic and Weather together now. Traffic brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. All traffic kind of winding down a little bit now. Some of the usual congested areas around campus and certainly around some of the school zones. It's been a little heavy this morning, but for the most part, it's been a pretty good day. Some of the usual slowdowns out on I-40, but even that's working out pretty well right now. If you spot anything anytime during the day, call us at 919-967-8363. That'll put you in touch with the WCHL newsroom. You can also tweet us at WCHL and let us know what you see. We'll pass along the word. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Townsend Bertram & Company, Carborough's locally owned adventure outfitters. Townsend & Bertram & Company celebrating its 25th anniversary tomorrow, 4 until 8 p.m. at Carmel. This free event will have live music, activities for kids, an outdoor beer garden, and more. Take the whole family and have fun at Townsend Bertram & Company. It's 73 degrees, partly sunny, beautiful day, high today in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain with a low down to 55. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, another great day, high in the middle 70s. Tomorrow night, clear and downright chilly with a low in the upper 40s. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. So that's our forecast for the weekend. It looks pretty darn good. Get outside and do something.
And now it's time for the professionals, local service, daily insights.
I'm Asa Goldenberg. I'm the business administrator for Dr. Jeff Kennedy, Richard Wagner, and Leland Webb at the Kennedy Dental Group. What's nice about our patients is that they'll see any of the doctors because they're all kind, good people, but they're definitely different personalities, but you're always going to get the same quality of care. It doesn't matter which doctor you're going to see. Dr. Wagner is one of these personalities. He's super outgoing and friendly, and he loves to talk about sports, and he's always talking people up. So his patients tend to really like to talk and chat, and he's just friendly and outgoing. Dr. Webb is, sort of has this subtle humor, and he's pretty laid back, but he comes up with some pretty funny one-liners. Dr. Kennedy is very ethical in so many ways. He really looks out for his patients. He's looking for overall oral health. He's really trustworthy. All the doctors are very trustworthy, very honest, very ethical. We're never going to give you something that you don't need, and we're always going to make our honest recommendations. We feel so much at home at work, actually, that it's easy to make other people feel at home and comfortable when you're happy and comfortable where you are. We anticipate our move will be in the fall, and we're really excited about it. We're moving to the old WCHL building, which is kind of across from Eastgate there where the radio towers are. It's been a long time coming. We're excited.
This has been the professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insight.
This is Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton. There's only one thing cooler than Carborough, and it's got to be Ron Stutz.
Thank you, Mayor. It is 8:52 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Terry Tyson. I've driven by the abandoned former Volvo dealership almost every day for several years now, and I find it incredible that the leadership in Chapel Hill has not speedily found a solution to remedy this symbol of economic distress. It is the result of the many rules and regulations the town of Chapel Hill inflicts on any business that dares to apply for approval to operate or locate here. We lost a movie theater at Elliott Road for these very reasons, and the land was already there. Surely an expedited procedure could be adopted in a case like this. It's not the image we want to project when visitors and prospective businesses take a look at us. Many cities and towns have economic development as priority number one. They believe bringing business to town promotes prosperity, relieves the tax burden on homeowners, and provides much-needed jobs for its citizens. Not Chapel Hill. It is the opposite. We spend countless hours prohibiting things that might affect Jordan Lake. We worry about a tree being cut down on someone's private property. We work hard to prove we are the most politically correct town in North Carolina, or the world for that matter. But at the same time, our tax rate continues to skyrocket, and our town has become home to the rich or the poor. You either can afford to live here, or you need affordable housing provided for you. There's no welcome wagon for the people who fall in between. Those who happen to already live here are quickly on their way out once their kids have finished with the public school system. There's no incentive incentive to stay and improve our community, many people just can't afford the taxes and move on. This is Terry Tyson.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What's the word? How do you spell it? And how do you define it? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call right now.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
1 week from today, John Green will be retiring from Owosso.
Well, I started with Owosso in 1981 and took a position as field engineer hired by Everett Billingsley, the executive director.
I remember him well. John Green is today's WCHL hometown hero. Since he came to Orange Water and Sewer Authority, he's moved right up through the ranks. You're the general manager of operations at Owosso now, right?
I am the general manager of operations now. That was the last promotion that I've had. I've been in that position about 15 years. I have responsibility for the water and wastewater plant, distribution collection team, the laboratory, the maintenance department, reclaimed water, and, you know, building maintenance.
John, 32 years with one company is a real rarity these days. Why has it been so good working in Owosso all this time?
I can remember coming for an interview, seeing the double-wide mobile homes that were being used as offices at the time, and being told by Everett that we'd be in a new building in 3 years. Little did I know it would take 10 years for that building to become a reality. Figured out, well, I've made it 10 years, well, why not 20? And before I knew it, 30 years had gone by. I have really enjoyed working for the community. I've had the pleasure of working with two excellent executive directors, several hundred dedicated and talented Owosso employees, and numerous involved and supportive board members.
What are you going to do now that you're retiring?
Well, of course, like many of us, I have the long list of jobs around the house that never seem to get done, so hopefully I'll have time to now remove a few of those from my list. I also have three grandchildren I hope to spend some more time with.
Over the years, especially back in the early days, John Green and I had a lot of fun together.
I think you came here in the late 70s.
1977.
It's been a long time from hearing about the Orange Water and Shortage Authority.
Thank you very much. I created that.
And the passing back and forth of Herman the Frog.
Yep.
I think we named a road after you called Ron Sutz Drive out there off of 54.
Yeah, it was the road to the sludge dump. When he retires on September 20th, John Green hopes to spend some time taking it easy. And did you know he's also a philosopher?
And everyone around here knows that I really like to spend time at the coast. So to steal a couple lines from a Zac Brown song, I hope to let the ocean be my medication and my only worry be whether the tide is going to reach my chair.
That's a great goal to have. I wish you well.
Well, thank you.
32 years on the job at Owosso, and he's earned retirement. John Green, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
John Green. Boy, that guy's going to be missed. It's time to congratulate Dexter Louie, who called in with the word of the day. It is etiolate, E-T-I-O-L-A-T-E. It means to bleach or to make pale. That's our word of the day from Wayne Pond, and it's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Dexter Louie gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
Ever dreamed of meeting your perfect match? Meet Clara, an 82-year-old ex-dancing queen seeking a caring soul who enjoys pasta and is comfortable driving. Find out if you're Clara's perfect match by becoming a Home Instead caregiver. Working with seniors in their homes can be challenging, but tremendously rewarding. Enjoy training, support, flexible shifts, and a job that nurtures the soul. Learn more at homeinstead.com/caregiver.
Life is full of reasons to celebrate. Graduation, retirements, baby showers, anniversaries, wedding. Oh, the list goes on and on. For all these wonderful occasions, there are parties with dancing, laughing, sharing, and eating.
The Chapel Hill Restaurant Group now offers catering services for any and all special occasions. For more information about catering services offered by the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group, call 941-1630. That's 941-1630.
College football season is here, and ChapelBurrow.com is offering you the chance to show off your football smarts by playing in the College Football Pick'em Contest.
Each week, you will choose the winners of 10 select college football games, with weekly prizes awarded to the top contestants. The results are posted, so this is your chance to see how you stack up against your friends and to compete against WCHL personalities, including Ron Stutz, Art Chansky, Rand Northam,
and me, Rachel Nash. To play right now, visit chapelboro.com/huddleup.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
A weather forecast brought to you by Southern Rail, an eclectic mix of restaurant, the Station Bar and Beer Garden, and the Tiger Room. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carrboro. 73 degrees, sunny today, hot today in the low 80s. I love it. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the middle 70s. Tomorrow night, we're going to get down into the upper 40s.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
9 o'clock.
Here is the equation. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship in Chapel Hill.